why don't you guys tell us a little bit first about how operations at both your guys' places have changed in light of the COVID pandemic?
Oh, well, thank you. Yes, we've had to make some changes here recently over the past month. The biggest being that we did close our physical offices to the public for safety of staff and the community. However, our services are fully operational. We're serving all our existing clients, and we're taking on new client applications both through the phone and online platforms.
And Larissa, this is Bob Inger with Legal Service of Northwest Minnesota. I have to mirror exactly what Cody has said with respect to what Anishinaabe is doing. But Legal Service of Northwest Minnesota, all three of our offices are still fully staffed. We're all remote staffed. We're all doing everything by phone call and by the internet platform. It's a little more difficult in a couple of our offices because we had a lot more walk-ins than normal. And right now we're just not able to deal with the walk-in other than providing the information that we've got a 1-800 number and a local number to call.
So I also speak with a county attorney from time to time here, and he says a lot of the court proceedings have generally lulled to an almost stop, but what sort of things are still happening as far as legal activities within the court system?
Well, with respect to the state court system, which I'll address because Cody does a lot more with the tribal courts than I do, there are some special types of cases. And, you know, with what we do in the civil legal realm, it's not criminal matters, but it is civil and the important civil stuff. You know, if there are, I know that recently I've been through an eviction with respect to, you know, danger, endangerment to property or others, or with respect to violation of a specific Minnesota statute, as well as order for protection matters where custody is potentially to be an issue. Those are being held via teleconference and via video conference, as well as a number of other types of cases. We don't do the CHIPS work, but those type of cases are child in need of protection cases. Those are important. They have to be going on. And I, as I understand from my discussion with the county attorney, you know, a lot of their in custody cases, you know, some are being heard and some are not.
Oh, thanks, Bob. And yes, the tribal courts that we serve, Leech Lake, White Earth, and Red Lake, are pretty similar along those lines. Those kind of emergency hearings are still being held, although mostly remotely, a lot of times by phone. And that includes domestic violence protection orders, emergency changes of custody, child protection work, as Bob noted. And those are areas that our office has high prioritized, and so we're still providing a lot of those services before the court for community members.
Have either of you seen an increased need in orders for protection and things related to that?
Go ahead, Cody.
Yes, I'd say we have. I've heard that for different reasons, the reporting and the arrests might not be as high currently, but the need definitely has increased. Of course, from stay-at-home orders, increased economic pressures, other pressures going on in the community at large. This is a problem that grows during these pandemic times. And so, yes, that need has definitely increased. And we've been still receiving those applications and fully serving those folks. And we encourage anyone who has questions or a need to please contact our office. And we will do everything we can to provide services to help.
And I would agree with what Cody had said entirely. The numbers are up. I know that with the stay-at-home order, some individuals are questioned whether or not, you know, why they have to be there. And the order, the governor's order as well as the Supreme Court's order with respect to the immediate hearings, they allow for leaving or getting out of a stay-at-home environment if an individual is in danger of domestic violence. So the misnomer that you can't get out of the house, it is just that. It's a misnomer. There is an exception to the rule with the stay-at-home for domestic violence. I don't think... what I would say is I think that we're seeing less cases that are asking for relief that requires hearings because the courts just aren't able to provide those hearings at this time, at least not in the way they were before the pandemic hit. So I do think that more OFPs might be being filed, but I think the requests for reliefs might not include as many requests for hearings.
All right. Well, what about eviction stuff? Has that pretty much slowed down, or are you still seeing folks reporting that they're getting evicted?
Initially, right when the order was handled, or right when the order was issued by Governor Walz, we had a real quick flurry of phone applications and applicants in that situation. And then explaining to them what the order said, as well as they're then able to go with their landlord and say, you just can't do this under the court or under the Governor Walz's executive order. I will say that like I said earlier, in special circumstances, an eviction still can take place. It can. But the number of those and those situations, they're very defined by the governor's order. They're very defined by the statute under what set of circumstances. So just a failure to pay rent or a breach of the lease violation, those are not being heard by the courts at this point in time.
I think Bob summed that up perfectly, and that kind of is in line with what we've experienced, too. We did get calls, especially early on, especially it was a lot of private landlords trying to evict folks or threatening eviction, saying they had to move out for things that they would not be able to bring to court. And so a lot of that was just negotiating with the landlords. We've seen that trickle down now, I think, as that is more understood amongst everybody.
Where can folks find out more information about their rights, especially if some landlord is trying to take advantage of a situation, assuming the tenant isn't as knowledgeable?
Well, one, they could contact either my office or Cody's office, either of our programs, and potentially if they're eligible for assistance from us, we'll give that direct advice right at that point in time. If, on the other hand, if an individual has access to a computer, there is a website out there called lawhelpmn.org. Which has an awesome COVID-19 response fact sheet, and it answers a lot of frequently asked questions with respect to that, as well as it can point you in the direction of the correct or appropriate legal services program, too.
I think that's wonderful information, and I just want to add, too, that our income guidelines go up to 200% of federal poverty guidelines, which would be about $52,400 for a family of four. That being said, we encourage, if someone is unsure if they would qualify, to do our application process. It's not a long process. It's confidential, and if someone is over our income guidelines, we have a lot of other information, education, and referral availability for folks. So we still do everything we can to help get their legal needs met and questions answered.
Are similar income guidelines relative for you over that Northwest Legal Services, Bob?
Yes, that is correct.
Okay. And who qualifies, who else could qualify? Like, to use Anishinaabeg legal services, do they have to be of Anishinaabeg descent, live in the vicinity of a reservation, or what are the particular rules on that?
Oh, thank you. The income guideline is generally 200% federal poverty guidelines. I do want to note we can go over that to help survivors of domestic violence and older Americans in a lot of matters. So we can, in certain matters, even go above 200%. As far as geographical, our service area is broadly defined as on or near Leech Lake, White Earth, and Red Lake reservations. So even outside the reservation boundaries, that can include cities such as Bemidji, Walker, Detroit Lakes, and we don't have any enrollment or blood quantum or other requirements. If you call our office and you financially, geographically qualify, we will do everything we can to serve you regardless of any factors of race, gender, age, etc. So that's for Anishinaabe.
All right, and then for Northwest Legal Services, is there a geographical area?
There is. We serve 22 counties in northwest Minnesota, specifically the five counties that my program represented, Beltrami, Clearwater, Lake of the Woods, Manoman, and Hubbard County. We provide direct assistance, at least throughout my office in Bemidji, for those five counties. And we have two other offices, one in Alexandria and one in Moorhead, that cover the rest of the 22 counties in northwest Minnesota. We unfortunately don't have the ability to go over the 200% as Cody's program does. We are locked at 200% simply because of some of the funding we receive. But as Cody has said, too, that we are looking for everything we can do to help individuals in this pandemic crisis right now, help them out any way we can.
So, just hypothetical, in a domestic violence situation, say a woman and her husband, two kids, they were above those federal guidelines. But if you take away the husband's income, like, is that considered in the domestic violence proceedings if the husband's income will be considered as part of that, or is it without him?
With respect to our program and in a domestic violence situation, the abuser's income is not taken into consideration.
All right. That's what I wanted to know. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, I don't think I have any further questions. Is there anything else you guys wanted to add that I maybe did not get to?
Well, one thing, well, let me, and I'm sorry, Cody, I don't mean to step on your toes, but two things I want to say.
No, please.
One is, with respect to any questions regarding landlords acting inappropriate to tenants, if you've got access to the internet, the Minnesota State's Attorney General has got a specific complaint form that they can fill out, and the Attorney General will investigate those complaints on violation of the current status with respect to evictions or trying to terminate tenants' status at this point in time. So I would suggest, you know, a quick, if you're being told by your landlord you're going to be evicted, I would suggest that everyone or that family, that household, file a complaint with the Attorney General's office. And they do investigate that. I know that we've received a couple of them back from the Attorney General's office asking us to step in. The other thing that I would also like to say, and I know that Cody would say this too, is scams. Everybody needs to be aware of these COVID-19 scams. It's clear the IRS is not going to contact anybody out there. If you get an email or if you get a phone call claiming to be the IRS and they're looking for personal information, do not give it out. It's a scam. Also, there are some check scams coming out there that where it looks like it's coming from the IRS, and they're asking you to go ahead and deposit this into your account. Well, when they do that, then they're going to get information from your account because the check goes bad. So there are so many scams going out there right now that all we can do is make people aware of them, and that our individuals, especially the low-income individuals, where this COVID relief money is so important for them to meet their daily needs and their monthly needs, that they've got to avoid the scams at all costs.
Oh, that's wonderful information. And from my program's perspective, I just like to put out there that as part of the recent stimulus package, the CARES Act, they did allocate funds specifically for legal aid to help people with COVID-related legal questions and issues. So I definitely encourage people to call us. We're here to help. There could be all sorts of legal questions people have arising or adjacent to COVID, and I don't want people to think they have to have a court matter to call us. We can provide legal advice and information on everything from stimulus payments, you know, how you can check the status, if you have to fill anything out online or otherwise, if you might have questions how, like, past child support would affect that, or if you had a debt outstanding, can they collect on it? It could, you know, be questions about utility shutoffs or help with that, unemployment claims, taxes, license, tabs, DMV issues. There's just a wide variety. So I encourage folks, if they have any legal questions, we've got lawyers who are studying up and specializing in these to give, you know, sound legal advice.
All right, fellas. Well, thanks so much for taking the time to talk to me today.